Welcome to the April 5th virtual service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. Our service today is co-led by our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, and Reverend Alex McGee from the Thomas Jefferson Memorial Church in Charlottesville, whose congregants also attended virtually. They were assisted by Worship Associate Victoria Taylor. The theme for the service is Liberated from the Bonds of Space. A video of the service will be made available and the link will be provided in the UUC announcements. Because the site for the video is not public, it will contain material that is not allowed in this publicly accessible audio recording because of privacy and copyright considerations. Security considerations led Zoom.us to require passwords for all Zoom meetings. Since we did not know about this until Saturday, not all congregants saw notice of the Zoom password in time. Still, there were 186 unique logins, but several screens had more than one person in them.
Good morning. Many of our weekly gatherings are getting together on Zoom. I'm holding a coming of age gathering this afternoon at 1 o'clock. Our calendar of our is on our website for the other groups. For example, at 3 o'clock, the spiritual aging group is meeting, study group is meeting with Rev Pam. And I know there's also fascinating things going on at the Charlottesville congregation. In fact, at 10:15, they're having children's worship, and I'm sure Rev Alex will tell you more about that. So I'd like to introduce Rev Alex from the TJMUU.
Good morning, everyone. I'm inviting everyone from Charlottesville to wave at everyone from Blacksburg. It is such a joy to share spiritually, to share technologically, to share an abundance of resources. I'm so happy that everyone is able to be together this morning, and I invite us all to take a deep breath and settle even more into this worship space. And it is true that at 10:15, Leah Derlin-Jones, who's been leading worship at the UU congregation in Charlottesville for kids for about 25 years, will be having what we call family or children's worship. And any of the families from Blacksburg that would like to join that are welcome. And I believe that that information was previously sent out in an email. And so that is my greeting this morning, and I hand it back over to Victoria now.
Now I'd like to introduce Rachel Crane to say what our children will be doing in their emailed RE.
Good morning. Welcome to week 4 of RE at Home. Today, our families have a wonderful opportunity to join the Charlottesville UUC for their family worship. Family worship starts at 10:15, so there's still time if you want to change channels and jump over there with your kids. I emailed out a Zoom link, and here it is again if you need it. Last week, the children were asked to look for signs of spring and to send me pictures. Here are some of the images they shared. We have the photography of Noemi Short, age 4. We have creations by Evelyn Davis, the flower of spring, and her sister Leota Davis, an abstract painting of all of their property blooming in spring colors. This week in RE at Home, our preschoolers are going to be hearing a story about Easter and doing Easter crafts. Basically, our K-1 class is doing something similar, reading a story about Easter and doing Easter preparations. Our second and third grade class is going to be learning about Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor of the telephone. He was a Unitarian, and they'll be talking about different types of inventions. Our fourth and fifth grade class is going to be celebrating Buddha's birthday. Our middle school class is starting a new unit on paganism and indigenous religions. And this week they'll talk about neo-paganism and Wicca. And then finally, I would like to invite you to help me create a virtual egg hunt for the families in the congregation. I'll be sending out an email to the families, but if the adults also wanted to help out, that would be great. Basically, I think we'll be taking pictures of our Easter eggs hidden in different places, and I'll assemble them into a virtual egg hunt to share with us all. All right, that's all I've got. Thanks.
Thank you, Rachel.
And I'd like to share news for the UUC. We've been in the middle of our stewardship pledge drive, and in fact, it was supposed to end last week, but as you can see from this wonderful graphic that Meredith Hundley made for us, we are not quite there. We're at 80% of the way towards our goal, so we'll be extending our pledge drive. You can still make a pledge, and you can do it online, and I'm hoping that we can put the links. You can either make a pledge or you can pay your pledge or make a donation to UUC. Next week, if all goes well, we'll be entering even more of the 21st century by having text to give and an app for your phone so that you can share your offering. But in the meantime, you can also just mail in a check.
I'd like to now share some opening words with you. We who gather here in this tender and anxious and confusing time, we have been awash in a sea of information and misinformation and disinformation. And this information that we seek is simply so that we may make wise decisions about how we respond and learn how we hold one another when we can't hold one another and decide how we can be when we can't be together. What is this we face? How do we best respond? And why is this happening? The why. And why do those who suffer so suffer most, suffer always, suffer most from what we now face? Why? And what can we do for those who are most at risk, most vulnerable all the time and now again? And how do we respond? And how do we hold one another when we can't hold one another? And how do we stay together and stick together and worship together when we can't be together? And yet we are. Here we are. We are here together. Those are the words of Reverend Rod Richards, ones we all share.
Thank you, Victoria. And one of the reasons that we are here together is because of resilience. Rev Alex, can you share with us our superpowers?
So in addition to my work at the congregation in Charlottesville, I also work at a hospital in Charlottesville. And so I've been reading medical articles about moral resilience in nursing. And so there are six traits that are suggested by a researcher named Marie Erlino Ramirez. I'd like to tell you these six traits: self-determination, rebounding, humor, flexibility, positive relationships, and then the sixth one is self-esteem. So I'm going to read those again, and I invite you to listen for which one reminds you of your natural strength, your natural inclination, what you've already been doing that's been helping you through this time. I believe that each of us has a resilient superpower, and this is a great time to name and identify that. So listen again, which of these is your resilient superpower? Is it self-determination, meaning that you naturally are inclined to keep going? You know what you need to do and how to do it? Or second, is it rebounding, also called reintegration, taking an event which was challenging and finding a way to weave it into a new future? Or is your superpower humor, the ability to laugh at the unexpected? Or fourth, is your superpower flexibility, the ability to adapt perhaps like Elastigirl in the Incredibles? Or five, is your superpower positive relationships, the ability to weave and sustain over time mutual encouragement and mutual nourishment with others? Or six, and finally, is your superpower self-esteem, meaning that you know inherently your own worth and dignity, and that exterior events do not shake that? So I'm hoping that by now you have an idea of what you might name as your resilience superpower, at least today or this week. And Pam, is it all right for folks to type that in the chat box?
I think that's okay. And Alex, I also figured out a way, if I can make it happen, to do a poll. So I've launched a poll so folks can actually vote for which is their superpower.
Great minds think alike. I was hoping that that would happen, but I didn't want to bother Pam this week with one more thing. So I'm so glad she did it.
Well, this is the first time. And some of us may need to know how to do polling when it comes time for voting during congregational meetings. So this is good practice. So it says that you are viewing the questions. Go ahead if you'd like to vote for your superpower. Can you see it?
So I can see one, and I can see the six options, and I'm trying to click and nothing's happening. So then I clicked on launch poll, and I wonder if you need to click on launch poll, Pam.
Well, the only thing I have is end polling. So we'll figure this out for the next time.
So humor is really good. All right. In the chat box, if you feel like typing your superpower, will they have that ability? Jamie, will they have that ability?
Yeah. They've got it going. I see all kinds of people typing in. So we'll save the chat. While you are voting for your superpower, and also if you look at the bottom of, well, actually, I don't know that anybody else has it. So now we're going to move on to the next part of the service. Every week at the UUC in Blacksburg, we read together our congregational covenant. And I was part of the team, the transition team that wrote the covenant for Thomas Jefferson Memorial Church. So what you have on your screen now is the covenant that holds all congregations of Unitarians and Universalists together. So let's read that together. We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process in our congregations and in society at large, the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. That is the covenant that we share. And now I'd like to share something that our congregation has been doing this year. We use themes. I know that Charlottesville does as well. Our theme this month is liberation. And we also have a small group ministry program where people are invited to try out a spiritual exercise around the theme and then come together in small groups to share them. So this year, we've tried to cover at least one of those spiritual exercises during our worship services, so everyone, whether they're in a small group or not, gets to practice. So the authors of Soul Matters, who put together packets for the small groups, offered several spiritual exercises this month to help us explore our own liberation. One is entitled Escape Your Ruts and invites us to stop going through life on autopilot by liberating ourselves from our routines. The pandemic seems to have done that for a lot of us already. I don't think we need to get out of our routines. We've been bumped out of them by the COVID-19. Another is Face a Fear, but fear isn't in short supply these days. So I really like the third option. Remind yourself you did it before and can do it again. It invites us to remember the times when we've made courageous choices in our lives that set us free. Think about those times in your life when you surprised yourself with what you could do, about those moments when you stuck with it and you altered your life for the better. Remembering how we set ourselves free in the past is the best way to escape what is imprisoning us today. In the week ahead, in fact, just right now, think of a time in your life when you made a change that markedly improved it. Think, what changes have you made in your life, big or small? Use whatever you have in mind as number one on a list that you'll make this week of those things that you've done to help liberate yourself. And then, once you have a good long list, take the next step and figure out what new change is calling to you. What can you do right now to feel more free? What's a change you can make to improve your life? It doesn't have to be a huge change to have a big impact. So in the packet, they give a few examples of ways that people have made liberating changes. I no longer feel guilty about saying no. I'd prefer not to. I spend at least 10 minutes of sitting in silence every day by myself. I stopped believing that I had to be thin to be happy. I called myself an artist, rather than telling people, well, I do art sometimes. I meditate every single day. I removed myself from the toxic people in my life. I let myself go gray. I no longer let people interrupt me. I read my poems out loud to people who ask. I start telling myself, you know what you're talking about. In the week ahead, I invite you to make a list of how you've liberated yourself in the past, from habits of mind, habits of heart, and habits of body that have limited your life. Think of all your successes and let them inspire you to make a new choice, a choice that feels liberating.
Into whatever is supporting you this morning. Allow yourself to physically feel that support. Allow yourself to open even more deeply to the words of the hymn, Spirit of Life. This morning, I call on Mother Earth, that sacred source of renewal. Mother Nature, who gives us beginnings again and again. Mother Nature, who gives us dirt and flowers and trees as a playground. Mother Nature, who knows the cycles of day and night and a sunrise again, the cycles of winter and summer, spring and fall. I call on this spirit of nature to help us as we go through changes. Be with those who are mourning loss. Be with them as their hearts ache. Be with those who are welcoming new joy. Be with them as their hearts sing. May the spirit of love be with everyone who is not in this shared technological worship this morning, who is separated by something like a missing password or fear of technology or institutional walls that do not allow technology or finances that make it difficult for them to connect this way. Be with those who feel that their isolation will never end. Be with those who, in the midst of even all this pandemic change, also are having heartache about forgiveness, forgiving, and reconciliation. Give them the tools that they need in the right time, in the right way. Help everyone who is wondering where their next meal will come from find physical nourishment. And help us again and again to be grateful. Open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to beauty. May we praise what is good. Blessed be. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alex. Yet we are here. Here we are. We are here together. I love the opening words Victoria shared at the beginning of this service. Reverend Richards begins by acknowledging that we are indeed in a tender and anxious and confusing time. But he ends with the powerful and comforting and sustaining reality that we are here together. What a thing! What a thing to bring together the two congregations that mean the most to me, the one that ordained me and the one that called me, if only for an hour. To bring the music of Jared and Scott into the same place. Jared played Rainbow Connection on the Sunday morning 3 years ago when this congregation called me, and a few times since then. Hearing that song feels so familiar and comforting. And Scott will play some of the ragtime music that he has played at the end of so many services in Charlottesville. When I hear a Scott Joplin tune, I am transported back to the end of a service at TJMC. It feels like home. And what a treat to share this space with Alex. She and I were worship associates together many, many years ago. But most of all, I love the idea that the people of these two congregations will get to meet and mingle during the coffee hour. Part of me wanted to skip the rest of the service and go straight to the breakout rooms. But I think it's important to reflect on what brings us together. And I'm not talking about Zoom and the pandemic, at least not yet. What brings us together is our identity as Unitarian Universalists. As UUs, especially living outside of New England, we often feel like outliers. We are constantly having to explain who we are and what we believe. It can be wearing to have to answer all those questions, to try to come up with an elevator speech. an explanation that encompasses all that we are as Unitarian Universalists in the time that it takes to ride an elevator from the ground to the top floor. Someone from the UUC church, UUC, once shared that a relative kept asking, "So are you still going to that weirdo church?" And for the longest time, they didn't know that UUC wasn't just a local phenomenon. They didn't know that it was part of a larger movement or denomination. And what a relief it was for them when they realized that this liberal beacon of hope shines not just in Blacksburg, but in many towns and cities across the country. And what a relief it was for them to begin to learn the long and rich history of the Unitarians and Universalist churches in America, to know that we can count founding fathers and mothers, noted writers and reformers in our tradition. But part of our history contributes to our sense of isolation. It is easy to feel like an outlier, to feel isolated as Unitarian Universalists, in part because of the way we govern ourselves. It all comes from the Cambridge platform, and it's called congregational polity. Each UU congregation chooses their own minister, their own mission and vision, their own covenant, their own bylaws. We inherited this polity from the Puritans who first came to North America, who rejected the hierarchical structure of the Church of England, in which faraway bishops told churches what to do. However, congregational polity is not just about self-government of the individual congregations. In its original conception, it also requires that those churches belong to a community of autonomous congregations. There was an expectation that congregations would be in relationship, offering care, consultation, admonition, participation, recommendation, and relief to one another. In 1997, the UUA Commission on Appraisal wrote a report recommending that we revive our awareness of that original intent. But I'm sad to say that in places like Virginia, where our churches are geographically distant, we don't have much to do with each other, unlike in larger metropolitan areas and New England, where you can't turn around without hitting a UU congregation. And then came COVID-19. Congregations started closing their physical doors for a month or more at first, in an effort to flatten the curve. And we started gathering virtually, and we were liberated from the bonds of space. We've had people join us from as far away as Washington State and Northern Italy. Why not invite the good people of Charlottesville, even the Cavalier fans, to join us this morning? They won't have to get up early or deal with the traffic on 81. And I'm so grateful that you all accepted our invitation. And when the staff of the two congregations gathered on Zoom to talk about how this might work, TJMC's Director of Lifespan Faith Development, Leah Derlin Jones, offered to let our families and children gather in family worship. Now, while Rachel Crane has been doing an amazing job adapting and sending lessons to the families, on top of her full-time job as a high school science teacher, we haven't been able to offer such an opportunity for our children to gather. What a gift to know that even as we speak, they are together with those in Charlottesville. Here we are, two congregations in the 21st century, beginning to live into an expectation set centuries ago. Congregations being in community, in relationship, offering care, consultation, participation, recommendation, and relief to one another. Everything except admonition. Remember, these were Puritans, and they were pretty good at judging folks on whether they were doing the right thing or not. Now that we are liberated from the bonds of space, now that we can overcome our geographic distances, how might we more fully live into our covenant as UU congregations? We share the covenant to affirm and promote our seven principles, but how can we affirm and promote each other? Both these congregations have known times of internal trouble and transition, and also tragic violence in our communities that will never be forgotten. While the religious professionals, the ministers, and the lifespan faith development directors have sometimes turned to each other in times of need, it's less common for congregations to do the same. It usually takes a time of crisis when the need becomes so obvious and so dire that we cannot rely on rugged individualism to get by, and we ask for help. But even then, what would it look like if we were to fully live into the words of our opening hymn, "We Would Be One"? These words were written for the 1953 conference when the young people from the Unitarians and the Universalists formed the Liberal Religious Youth of the United States and Canada, years before the Unitarians and Universalists consolidated. TJMC's former minister, Wayne Arneson, used the hymn's title for his book on the youth movement. We would be one in building for tomorrow, a nobler world than we have known today. How do we overcome the individualism of congregational polity and begin to create a true community of congregations, one in which we offer care, consultation, participation, recommendation, and relief to one another? Let's go ahead and leave off the admonition. I think an answer lies in what it takes for us as individuals to do the same. And that is admitting that we need each other, that we need not go it alone, that we are stronger together than we are apart. It requires admitting our vulnerabilities and acknowledging that sometimes we need help. And there is a kind of liberation in that admission and acknowledgement. When we say, "I don't have it all together, I am afraid, I need help," we are freed from having to pretend that we do have it all together. Adrienne Marie Brown, in a blog on interdependence, talks about the importance of being seen in all our weaknesses and our strength. She writes, "That interdependence is basically the song 'Lean on Me' in practice, for no one can fill those of your needs, that you don't let show." In this tender and anxious and confusing time, we all, as individuals and congregations, need to let ourselves be seen, show our needs, swallow our pride, and lean on one another. And as we move forward and through this tender and anxious and confusing time, let us not leave behind the liberation of space, allowing us to expand our circle of care to include all of us in Blacksburg, in Charlottesville, and beyond. May we make it so, and amen. So at this point in our service, we usually have a benediction. And until a few weeks ago, we would hold hands. And then we stopped doing that. Today, as I read our benediction, let's all put our hands over our hearts as a reminder that we can always reach out and hold each other in our hearts. And I also like to share the words of the Reverend Wayne Arneson. "Take courage, friends. The way is often hard. The path is never clear. And the stakes are very high. Take courage, for deep down there is another truth. You are not alone.